And now my guest in the studio today is Sloan Schumacher, who writes the Half-Hearted Fanatic column for the Roaring Fork Weekly in print around the Mid-Valley and online at rfweeklyjournal.com. Sloan served as executive director at the nonprofit Wilderness Workshop for over 20 years, retiring recently and picking up the pen. Thanks for joining us, Sloan.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Can the pen be mightier than the sword?
Well, I suppose that's why the dictators always come after the artist and the thought leaders first, right? But the sword certainly wins in the short term.
As you know, it's the KDNK membership drive. We're offering limited copies of this book, Public Influence, A Guide to Op-Ed Writing and Social Media Engagement by Mira Sukharov, as a thank you for anyone who donates to KDNK. Call us at 963-0139 or go to kdnk.org and click donate. What have you heard, Sloan, from others in the community since you began writing your column?
Oh, well, I haven't heard any negative feedback yet, which means I'm probably not doing my job well enough. but I've gotten a lot of positive feedback and encouragement to keep going. When I left the Wilderness Workshop, people were like, well, we were expecting great things out of you. And I'm like, oh, crap, don't put that on me. I just want to go home and be with my kids.
Right.
And then this opportunity landed in my lap, and I thought, well, sure, why not? I'll give it a shot.
Are you enjoying it? Is it easy or is it a challenge?
Yes, to all three. I was an English major in college, and then because I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I went through a circuitous path to get to where I was doing conservation work. But it's nice to be able to return sort of to literary pursuits, and so writing comes pretty easy for me. It's very challenging to write in a way that I think does the craft a service and communicates an issue that I think is important. Now I always wondered, I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to write about this week, you know, this month? And it always comes. The muse lands in my lap. Somebody says, hey, I have an idea. Or, you know, I just reflect and something drops on me and then there it is. And so that part's been easy, and it's fun. It's fun to be able to write expressively for myself without being concerned about sort of the larger implications of representing an organization and the donors and the members and the mm-hmm. and the mission and all that. And so it's been fun. I mean, you know, it's not too dissimilar from what I was doing before, but it does allow me a little more latitude.
The General Colin Powell's son, Michael Powell, was once the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, and he said in a speech that one night he waited up all night for the angel of the public interest and she never showed, and that impacted his deregulatory agenda at the FCC. Sounds like you haven't had that problem.
No. It's just, the public interest is something that I've spent most of my life working in. And interestingly, yeah.
My guest is Roaring Fork Weekly columnist and longtime environmental advocate Sloan Schumacher. Your latest column in the paper is Yanking the Rug Out from Under Terrorists. Can you explain the thrust of this column, please?
Well, to start with, did I write the title? I think I did write the title. And what I try to do on my pieces is I think that because I did the work I did for so long, people have me in a box. And so I try to start the column in a way that might be unexpected for people so that they're intrigued and might be thinking, oh, this might be different. And so the column is really about the problem with fossil fuels and our continued addiction to them. And, you know, really it comes home with the natural gas development in the Piance Basin, which is in Garfield County, and the Garfield County Commissioner's unhealthy obsession with continuing to pump more carbon into the atmosphere by promoting natural gas development. It's about this natural gas pipeline that would connect the Piance Basin in Garfield County to a port in Oregon where they would super chill the gas and liquefy it so it's much more dense, it's much denser, and then export it to Asian markets. And so I got into it by looking at some work that Amory Lovins at the Rocky Mountain Institute did. And, you know, he points out that the most secure systems are the most secure energy systems are those that are distributed and diversified and aren't concentrated. My point is that we have a very vulnerable, very fragile, and that's the name of his book. That's a very fragile energy system, because a little bit of disruption and a lot of people are out of luck for mm-hmm. a period of time. And I use an example of a tree branch falling on a power line in New England, whatever it was, 10 years ago, and 5 million people were out of power for 2 weeks. And so if we had distributed energy production, which coincidentally is also low carbon, sustainable energy sources like hydropower micro hydro, that is, solar and wind, it's a twofer. We save the planet and we're less susceptible to terrorist interventions. And if you think about it, and the key, maybe you can read the number to me, but Amory Lovins identified that a tanker shipping liquefied natural gas overseas has got the explosive power of, like, how many Hiroshima bombs? It's in there anyway, like 5, 10, 50 Hiroshima bombs. And so this, you know, our addiction to natural gas is to fossil fuels is not only killing the planet, but it's also making us very vulnerable to really awful potential consequences from terrorist attack.
Yeah, the quote from Brittle Power is that the energy content of a single standard LNG tanker is, quote, equivalent to 7/10 of a megaton of TNT, or about 55 Hiroshima bombs.
LNG is liquefied natural gas.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy. And think about the proliferation of weaponry around these days. And you know, one shoulder mounted rocket launcher, and you get a blast zone that's 3 miles in circumference or diameter.
We're talking to Sloan Shoemaker, who is the columnist for Half-Hearted Fanatic, a commentary that appears monthly in the new Roaring Fork Weekly Journal. And it is the KDNK membership drive. We want to thank our donors so far this show. Thanks so much to Audrey for going online to kdnk.org and clicking donate. Also, Patty and George Stranahan just called in and renewed their family membership. They give a sustainable membership to the station, and not only will they get a new KDNK hat and our hilarious socks. Have you seen these socks, Sloan?
No.
They're green and orange, neon, with Dinky, who's the little vinyl record with gloves and shoes, and then a bumper sticker. At that level, at the $20 a month level, you also get a Secret Stash CD from Luke's Secret Stash and a 3-month membership to the Colorado Sun, a copy of the new book, Public Influence, by Mira Sukharov. And, you know, this is a book that not only helps you be more strategic, whatever your viewpoint, in trying to convey your message in traditional news media, but also how to engage more effectively online. So much of our online media engagement is sort of people yelling at each other, or, you know, typing in all caps, basically. And it's definitely possible to be more effective. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you more about mm-hmm. your piece. Mm-hmm. When we talk about this pipeline, it's known as the Jordan Cove Energy Project, and that has to do with at the Oregon coast, this energy transfer would take place.
Yeah.
This Pacific Connector pipeline would be 235 miles. So where from the Oregon coast, where does that begin? I mean, where does that connect to here? It's not going to come all the way to Glenwood.
No. There's already a natural gas pipeline network across the west, right?
Yep.
So that connector would connect Jordan Cove to that main trunk pipeline network that's already, you know, throughout spider webbing throughout the West. And,
yeah.
And so the pipeline is already here. They're just connecting up to it on their end. But, you know, people should recognize that the folks in Oregon are dead set against this, that the local county commissioners have said, heck no, we're representing our populace here. They don't want it. We don't want to expose ourselves to that. It's they would have to use, they would, you know, there are a lot of private landowners who the pipeline route would cross and who are opposed to it, and they'd have to use eminent domain to condemn part of their property to ram this pipeline through. And what? I mean, nobody wants it, and they would force it through. And meanwhile, the Garfield County commissioners are, you know, they're cheerleaders for it.
Yeah, I want to ask you about something else on the industry here. So, sure. So Lucas Turner, KDNK's brand new news director, former CMC radio manager for 5 years, who's just taken over here at KDNK and working together with Amy Haddon Marsh, Raleigh Burley, myself, and the rest of the team. He has an interview that is up on our homepage right now. Fracking industry trends signal bad news for investors and workers alike. And he spoke to an investigative journalist from DSmog blog, a guy named Justin McCulka, who's a reporter and researcher. He has a new piece out called Bleak Financial Outlook for U.S. Fracking Industry. And he and Lucas spoke about overspending, investor woes, and a shortage of what they call tier one acreage. So obviously people listening at home know you're an advocate for a cleaner environment. So obviously we know you have an opinion on fracking. But what's your take on the economic situation for the industry right now?
Well, it looks like it's a giant Ponzi scheme. You know, they're taking money from investors based on promises of future development. When what we've seen very locally is often that future development is based on speculative lease bidding and acquisition, and that often doesn't prove to be the case. And so, you know, they're always trying to leverage one leap ahead, one new development ahead, taking money from today's investors in order to try to prove up tomorrow's field. The upshot of this is the easy gas and the easy oil has already been drilled. And so now they're going to more difficult places that are harder to get to, harder to manage, and harder, more remote, and deeper and more difficult to get out of the ground.
Let me ask you another question that I've been confused about with sort of the messaging around why Americans are supposed to support fracking. So we're told that fracking is a cheap way for us to have energy security. And of course, this ties into the topic of your piece, which is about the risk that you have with pipelines for attack. And obviously what you said earlier about Henry Levin's book, Brittle Power. But then at the same time, that part of the sales pitch for why the supporters of the Jordan Cove pipeline and the Pacific Connector are trying to convince the public to support this is this idea that Asian markets will pay a premium for the gas that we should develop here because it's cheap and a bridge fuel for the U.S. so we can have security. So is that, can you both promote that this is cheap local energy for us and that it's expensive for export? I mean, I just don't understand how can it be both? I mean, no. if you're in the industry, do you want the price to go up because we're shipping it to Asia, or do you want to keep it cheap because it's a local affordable energy source?
So I mean, so it's basic supply and demand. So there's this glut of gas on the market right now because they overdeveloped and price is down, and so profits are depressed, and they're looking for people who will pay more money for it, right? So if they'll pay for more money for it, the supply goes down, the demand goes up, and we take it in the shorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because isn't it possible that if this whole export scheme comes together, some think it's just a pipe dream, but there's certainly plenty of energy to try to get this done.
Right.
Sorry, I really didn't mean to make
that's
that
a lot of puns, so right there.
That was
there,
not scripted, folks.
Boom, boom. Oh,
sorry, no. but if this is effective, then the price point goes way up.
Yeah.
So then doesn't that make it more expensive? Haven't we been told that we should do this because it's so cheap for Americans? If the price goes up in Asia, are they going to keep the price low here?
No, it's a global market. It's global market determines price. That's the way it works. So, yes, you put your finger on it. They talk out of both sides of the mouth. This is what they do. Because they control the levers of government and politics and communication, they don't think people are going to catch on. And a lot of people aren't. And thank God there are places like KDNK, where some independent thought and critical observation are allowed to thrive.
Well, we're talking to Sloan Shoemaker. His piece is called Yanking the Rug Out from Under Terrorists. You can read it at rfweeklyjournal.com or around the Mid-Valley in print. Talk about what Garfield County Commissioner Tom Jankowski said when he traveled to Oregon.
Traveled to a Federal Energy Regulatory Commission hearing in Oregon, where they're taking public comment on the proposed liquid natural gas export facility and the pipeline. And everybody there was showing up in droves opposed to it. And Tom went to say, well, I want to make sure that, you know, that these people, the commission doesn't know that everybody's opposed to it. Let them know that I'm supporting of it. But the irony, that's a polite way of saying maybe the hypocrisy of it, is the Garfield County commissioners are very, you know, very proud of their Republican Party affiliation. A traditional Republican Party platform is smaller government, you know, the ascendancy of private property rights,
personal freedom,
and, you know, and the decisions made at the most local level are the best decisions. A localist government is the best government, right? Well, Tom violates all of those by that statement. You know, that local government is taking a stand against it. Personal private property rights are going to get bulldozed. You know, how do you have freedom in local government if you got somebody coming in from the outside wanting to trample all of that?
But also this quote, and you have this quoted in your column, Sloan. He says, quote, I know when we have an audience full of naysayers or people who are against the project and the applicant doesn't have anybody in favor of a project, it makes a difference. And so that's why I decided to travel this far for this. Yeah. So he specifically cited his concern about local opposition.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a head scratcher, right?
Yeah. So who else is opposed to this? You mentioned the locals there. So Jackson County commissioners, this is on the Oregon coast, are strongly opposed. Who else is opposed?
The Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, I believe, DEQ, has declined to permit it. And frankly, I can't give you the full list.
And Native American tribes.
American tribes, right. Yeah, they're like, hell no. This is, you know, you're going to have to condemn our lands, and we're not into that.
You're listening to Booked on KDNK. The time is 4:20, and if you are taking a break right now from whatever else you have going on, it's a great time to call in at at 963-0139. That's 970-963-0139. Or click over to KDNK.org and hit the donate button. It takes about 90 seconds, and you can become a new member of KDNK or renew your membership and pick up a copy of Public Influence, a guide to op-ed writing and social media engagement, along with all the rest of our great thank you gifts, including the 3-month trial subscription to the Colorado Sun, a great new outlet started by a bunch of journalists at the Denver Post who said this corporate takeover of our paper is ruining journalism in Colorado. We're going to do something about it. And a whole team of them left and started their own new B Corp, the Colorado Sun, not technically a nonprofit, but it's similar, and serving, doing journalism as a public good, one of KDNK's new partners in this new grant-funded project we're doing. And it's an opportunity for us. We'll be speaking with one of the editors next week on the show.
Great.
It's an opportunity for us to help the Colorado Sun reach more of KDNK supporters in this valley. At the same time, they are messaging all across the state for Colorado Sun readers that KDNK is a station that's doing something worth noting. And, you know, we've been recently awarded. I just want to give a shout out to some of our talent here. We started the new Spanish language morning show, Charlando con Cristal, which is Wednesday and Fridays from 5 to 6 a.m. and very popular on our website. I mean, her stories are consistently in the top 10 biggest traffic on our site in Spanish on a site that's otherwise in English.
Wow.
So it's been really exciting.
That's great.
Crystal Mariscal won Best Morning Show at the Colorado Broadcasters Association in her first year at KDNK for Best Morning Show in Spanish and what they call a mid-sized market. And we were awarded for both first and second place for Best Public Affairs in the state for Amy Haddon Marsh's program Valley Voices and for Walter Gallagher's program Immigrant Stories. So this station is recognized.
This station is killing it, is what you're trying to say.
Recognized at a state level, and we know that there are a lot of listeners who tune into KDNK between 4 and 5 o'clock to hear voices from this valley, people like Sloan who are not regularly featured on the broadcast airwaves, and we get to bring you access to voices in the community like this. I want to ask you about the name of your column, Half-Hearted Fanatic. What caused you to call your pieces that title?
It comes from an Ed Abbey quote, and we'll read it in a second, but I want to explain a little bit more. Doing the work I was doing that I stepped away from at Wilderness Workshop, it was a, you know, it was a 24/7 kind of job. It was always in the back of my head, and I think I suffered. My physical health suffered. My family engagement suffered. And it was time for me to start to put more investment into myself, into my marriage, into my parenting, into my family, my home. And I want to give a shout out to Malcolm McMichael, a friend of mine. He's also a columnist at RFJ, who suggested this. We were tossing ideas around, and so the quote comes from Ed Abbey, who didn't want activists to burn themselves out.
Author of The Monkey Ranch Gang and many other great books.
Yeah, yeah. He was a seminal conservationist in his time. And I'll read this out loud. One final paragraph of advice. Do not burn yourselves out. Be as I am, a reluctant enthusiast, a part-time crusader, a half-hearted fanatic. Save the other half of yourselves and your lives for pleasure and adventure. It is not enough to fight for the land. It is even more important to enjoy it while you can, while it's still here. So get out there and hunt and fish and mess around with your friends. Ramble out yonder and explore the forests, climb the mountains, bag the peaks, run the rivers, breathe deep of that yet sweet and lucid air, sit quietly for a while and contemplate the precious stillness, the lovely, mysterious, and awesome space. Enjoy yourselves. Keep your brain in your head and your head firmly attached to your body, the body active and alive, and I promise you this much. I promise you this one sweet victory over our enemies, over those desk-bound men and women with their hearts in a safe deposit box and their eyes hypnotized by desk calculators. I promise you this. You will outlive the bastards.
Wow. Half-hearted fanatic Sloan Shoemaker reading a quote from Edward Abbey here on Booked on KD&K. Before we go, Sloan, we have looks like 3 minutes left. Why do you think listeners should support KD&K financially by calling 963-0139 or going online to kdnk.org and clicking the donate button? You've been a longtime supporter, former board member, and volunteer at this organization over the years. You've obviously put your money where your ears are. Why should the rest of the folks out there?
This kind of quality doesn't come for free. You can't be a free rider out there, folks. You got to pitch in. We all benefit from KD&K, and it doesn't happen on its own. It money is the grease that makes it work here. So pitch in, and I'm going to do it too right now, because I love the pitch you gave earlier. That package of benefits is awesome. Even though I just went online and bought the book, I don't care. I know somebody I can give it to.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I'm gonna pitch in $1 a day. Used to call it a fanatic. I don't know what it is now.
The community radio geek.
I'll be a geek.
And you get a copy of Public Influence, a guide to op-ed writing and social media engagement by Mira Sukharov. Interview up on our website right now. You also get the 3-month subscription to the Colorado Sun, the brand new KD&K hat, the socks, the CD from Luke's Secret Stash. It's a lot of fun.
Beyond. Luke is the best. But I just want to say, it's sometimes we don't recognize what we have until we lose it, right? You don't know what you got till it's gone. KD&K is a gem. And you go to other markets, you drive across the country, and it is a wasteland of broadcasting out there. And KD&K is so good on so many levels. We gotta keep this alive. This is a definition of our community.
Hey, thank you so much to Sloan for coming in. And again, if you haven't seen his column, it's in the Roaring Fork Weekly Journal in print around the valley and online at rfweeklyjournal.com. Looks like we have 1 minute left. Give us a call, 963-0139, looking for one new member.
Come on,
support
people.
Booked on KD&K, 963-0139. And before we go, the one last thing I want to ask you, Sloan, is what's next? Do you have anything else coming besides the column? Now that you've written 8 of these, are you going to put out a book of columns?
Somebody suggested do a blog, just posting the columns onto one place so people can read them. I don't know how much interest there is in that. But right now, it's one step at a time. I've got girls in middle school and high school.
You said, family man.
Families first. I want to make sure I'm there for those precious moments when they present themselves before they're gone. And so that's a priority, and we'll see where we go from there.